Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from Crescent City Sports, covers the Saints, all the college teams, and also the prep ranks, Renee Nadeau. Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, it's great to be with you and Charlie today. Thank you.
Before we get into Saints talk, I got to ask you, because certainly it was the big news early in the week, Tulane Landing, former BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff. And, we've had on Coach Sumrall, and he was really bullish, Renee, on his defense. You could hear it in his voice, even though he's got a lot of change there. He liked what he saw in the spring from his defense, but I could also hear in his voice he wasn't sure about that quarterback situation. Now you bring in Jake, who, you know, that's something about winning games at the high level of college football. And Retzlaff did that at BYU.
He did, Mike, and you were absolutely right about the defense. You know, they added a couple of big names, Mo Westmoreland from UTEP and also Santana Hopper from Appalachian State, a couple of edge rushers that really going to improve that defense. But, you know, Retzlaff, as you alluded to, 2,900 yards, 20 touchdowns last year, 12 interceptions. But the thing about him, which kind of jumps out from the rest of the group at Tulane, is he's a mobile guy. He ran for over 400 yards and 6 touchdowns. Now, the thing is, he's just getting on campus, and they just about 30 days away from starting, from the season opener. But it's going to be a learning curve for Retzlaff because he's behind the rest of the guys, Samanza and Leary and those guys who went through spring practice. I can almost suspect, and I could be wrong, but I can almost suspect that, it's going to take him a little while to catch up. He may not be the opening day starter, Retzlaff, but I can almost assure you that in the first couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, you'll see a Retzlaff, a team that he can have an impact pretty much like he had at Brigham Young. It's going to be interesting. But, right now, as he lands on campus, Mike, you're right. He's the best possibility for a winning season, Retzlaff.
Do you think this team could make it into that final 12?
You know, it depends on the quarterback. That's going to be a big if. And how good are they going to gel? Also, how good will a defense with those new bodies coming aboard? And of course, they lost a couple of guys. Rayshon Pleasant left there. That was a big loss in the secondary. But, with the new additions on the defensive line, Mike and Charlie, I think they've really upgraded that defense. So to answer your question, it's going to depend the first few weeks. Northwestern comes to town, that's going to be a challenge for Tulane in the opening week. But, they're going to have to really have an outstanding season. I'm talking about 10 or 11 wins, I would think, to make a splash. But it's going to be tough. It depends how long it takes to kind of figure out that quarterback situation.
Renee, with the Saints right now in shells, we get them now. People, how does the defensive tackle look? Or the right guard? What? They in shells. We give you a little better explanation of that next week when they get in pads. But I think the preseason, when you in a rebuild mode, which this team is, and you can term it other ways, but they are in a rebuilding mode right now. Those three preseason games are going to be critical for all the talent that they got to develop that was from the prior regime or try to develop, and what they brought in either via the draft, trade, or free agency.
And, Mike, you know better than anybody. It's going to take a little while. You know, they're carrying over that roster that Dennis Allen left them last year. But they go into a 3-4. Some of the talent on there is not going to really fit a 3-4 attack. Example, I know Carl Granderson has done pretty good as an outside linebacker. We've seen him run up the field, 25, 30 yards in coverage. Not sure if Chase Young could do that as an outside linebacker. Will he be one of those down linemen? So I don't know if they got the ideal guys to man that 3-4 defense right now. So it'll be kind of an evolving situation, to make sure that the outside guys can play that true 3-4.
Yeah, Renee, I just want to hop in here and ask you about the running back battle. I think it's one of the more interesting ones in camp because behind Alvin Kamara, it is just question mark after question mark after question mark. And I had seen some news that Devin Neal, the rookie sixth-round pick, was getting some run. I think that's very exciting. Mike and I spoke to Greg Cosell from NFL Films about him, and he really raved about the tape that he showed at Kansas, all the production that he had with the Jayhawk program, record-breaking numbers for them in his collegiate career. Just want to get your thoughts on Devin Neal and really the running backs behind Alvin Kamara. Kendra Miller is a big injury question mark, and you know, I know that they brought in Cam Akers, who's another injury question mark. Just want to get your thoughts on that running back position.
Well, you know, the thing is, Devin Neal, as you alluded to, he's 4,343 yards, 53 touchdowns for the Jayhawks. He played in 40 consecutive games, 760 carries, only four fumbles. He had 115 carries of 10 yards or more. He kind of reminds me a little bit, not as fast, but of Ty J. Spears. But, you know, he's a guy that certainly, and I've watched him, he's got a good build on him, 5'11", about 215. You know, Cam Akers is in there now. He had a fumble yesterday. A guy is a dark horse. I kind of keep an eye on Marcus Yarns. He's a guy from Division II. He can be a guy who ends up on a practice squad, but he can be a contributor down the road. But something I was talking to the guys. In fact, I was talking to Bobby Abia yesterday about this and Steve Geller. You know, Kamara, I don't think people realize how good he is, but 228 carries last year, only one fumble. He is the only active. And you're talking about Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey. Even those two guys didn't do this. Kamara is the only active NFL running back to average 6 yards a carry during one season. And that was in 2017. And you look at the more factor, guys, Saquon Barkley and Kamara. Saquon Barkley with the Giants this last year, and those numbers he did with the Giants and Kamara's numbers last year are almost parallel. Now, I realize Saquon Barkley goes to the Eagles. They're a Super Bowl team. They got a great offensive line. But what kind of factor could, Kellen Moore have on Kamara now in his offense? I mean, I know I wouldn't expect him to run for 2,000 yards like Saquon did, but, you know, he could go over 1,000 yards. You look at a couple of guys who have done it in their 30s. John Riggins did it, 1,300 yards as a 34-year-old and a 35-year-old. And Frank Gore is another one who ran for over 1,000 yards at 33. So, and you both guys know Eric McCoy coming back is going to be huge for that offensive line. But, you know, how good can Kamara be under Kellen Moore? Who knows?
One of the things on defense, people say, well, who can make a quick impact from the rookies? I think Quincy Riley's got that shot. Having watched him at Louisville, and every day in practice, Renee, you know, when you're at Louisville, man, they throw in the football a lot in practice. So you're not only going up against people that throw the football a lot, every day in practice, you having to defend that. And he can play both edge or in the nickel. It'll depend on exactly where you want to put him at. Today, you saw Spencer Rattler try to throw the football away at the back of the end zone, and Riley picked it off. That, to me, showed some really good football instincts that he was eyeing that quarterback, and Riley kind of didn't look off where he really wanted to go with the ball. Spencer Rattler.
I tell you who he reminds me of, and we've talked about this, guys. Quincy reminds me a little bit of C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You know, he plays a man or zone. He's good in coverage, short tackler. He runs a sub 4.5 40. And he's, as you said, Mike, he's very versatile. I think Jonas Sanker at safety is going to get a shot now that Tyrann Mathieu is gone. And of course, Blackman's coming in. Another guy on the defensive line is Vernon Broughton, the kid from Texas. I've watched him and he looks very, very active. Only 24 years old. And of course, Bo Davis is the defensive line coach, so you know that's going to mean a lot to him. But those three guys, and I wouldn't discount at all Danny Stutzman. Danny Stutzman from Oklahoma, you know, three-time leading tackler for Sooners, and he'll get on the field some kind of way behind DeMario Davis on special teams, but his attitude is outstanding. Danny Stutzman is ready to do whatever he can do. So those are four guys right there that I think, as rookies, can certainly contribute to that defense.
Renee, couple LSU questions. I think last year and the last few years, we've seen this. LSU is no longer DBU. That's not the case anymore. Teams have really picked on their secondary. And I think Brian Kelly said, enough of this. I'm going out and get me a couple guys in the transfer portal that have played that safety position. He got, you know, two of the top three transfer safeties out there. And however, Mansoor, however you're going to play him, if he's going to play an edge corner or in the nickel, I think he could also play free safety if needed to. That is an area where we've talked about you know, watch out offensive line because of four new starters. What's going to happen up front with the defensive line? I think the safety spot is the one area that I think is going to make a big leap this year for LSU.
And one guy, I know you have your eye on him, A.J. Halsey, the kid from Houston, a free safety. Good size, 6'2", 215, 74 tackles last year, 5 interceptions. And you're right, Mansoor, Delane, he could have come out probably in the third round. Mike, you know better than me, but he probably could have been a high draft choice this year. But 1,800 snaps, he's only allowed 47% completion, 16 passes broken up, and 6 interceptions. Mansoor, Delane can play at a lot of different spots. And you got to wonder how good DJ Pickett is going to be. How long is that learning curve as a 6'4 cornerback, a 5-star guy who arrived? And you mentioned the safeties. Deshaun Spears, his second year, he had 25 tackles last year as a strong safety. He could really, you could see in a big improvement in a spring. Deshaun Spears could be a really contributor as a strong safety. So those guys, and of course, as you mentioned in the transfer portal, Jakeem Jackson comes over from Florida, and I think he'll be a big addition to that secondary.
You know, Renee, I wanted to ask you about LSU's pass-catching room. Mike and I have talked a bunch about Bauer, Sharp, and Tre'Davious Green and how the two tight end sets are going to be utilized throughout the season. And the tight end room is as good as any on the team, really, if you're kind of projecting it. But the wide receivers as well. Like, you bring in Nick Anderson from Oklahoma. You bring in Barry and Brown from Kentucky. You return Aaron Anderson and Chris Hilton. Garrett Nussmeier has no shortage of weapons to attack with the passing game.
No, and he's got a lot of speed, Charlie. I tell you, Barry and Brown, a sub-4.340. Aaron Anderson, another speedster, had a big season last year. Xavier Thomas is kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit, but he can be special. Dustin Hill, kid from Edna Carr, comes over from Florida State. He was ranked ahead. When he came out, he was ranked ahead of Malik Nabers and Keon Coleman. That's how good he can be when he came out as a prospect. Nick Anderson, good size, 6'4". Chris Hilton, you got to think this is his year to put it all together. And a guy might be a sleeper in this whole group is Kyle Parker. He's a guy in one game in high school had 23 catches for 341 yards and 5 touchdowns. That was in one game. Kyle Parker right now is about 13, but he'll wait for his chance. But it's guys like that, when the lights come on, they get their opportunity, they show what they can do.
You know, Renee, we talked with Tommy Ryback, the head coach at Nicholls State, and they're just under a month away from their season opener, which is week 0. We're just over a month away from LSU's season opener at Clemson. If you look at the books, basically across the board, they have Clemson as very slight favorites, about field goal favorite. It's supposed to be one of the premium games, week 1. LSU has got that 5-game losing streak at season openers. I know that Coach Kelly talked ad nauseum about it, basically at SEC Media Day, saying they've made it like a clear goal for this roster to start 1-0, to get the season off to the right foot. And we've talked to different reporters about that Clemson matchup. I want to get your gauge on it and kind of what you're thinking about it about a month away.
You know, we've talked about this in previous times we've talked. And the thing about LSU, I think they can match up athletically. The thing that kind of concerns me is the transfer portal could kind of work against LSU. LSU's got 16 transfer portals coming in. 12 are going to have significant roles on this team. How long? Clemson only has 5 transfer portals coming in. Plus, Clemson has, and Mike, you know this better than me, Clemson has 5, maybe 6 potential first-round picks on that team. That's how good they are, including the quarterback. But, you know, transfer portals, LSU will be a different team in week 3 or maybe 4 than they will be the first week. Are they good enough to put it all together? Don't know. But those transfer portals, as good as they are, those edge rushers, Pyburn and Patrick Payton and those kind of guys, how long will it take him to get on board and get up to snuff, you know, as a group? Because if they can put it all together in week 1, they certainly have an opportunity. And if they knock Clemson off, certainly LSU will be in a high cotton in the national rankings.
Renee, the way I look at it, regular season, I think Clemson's the toughest team and most talented team they play.
Oh, Mike, there's no doubt. In fact, Clemson is the toughest team LSU has ever played, and that's taken into account Oregon back in 2011. Clemson is the toughest team, most talented team in that LSU will face maybe this whole year. I mean, they're really good. If they can put it together, Clemson is one of those teams that can make the Final Four in the college playoff. And how good Klubnik can be, the quarterback, I mean, right now he's neck and neck. with Garrett Nussmeier. And again, you throw in the offensive line, how good they are. The right side of the offensive line might be the best right side offensive line in all of college football. And then you got Woods and you got the edge rusher, two number one draft choices. Yeah, this is going to be a stern test. And then you throw it all together that it's on the road in Clemson. That's going to be a tough challenge for Brian Kelly. But he looks like he wants to make sure that everybody knows LSU is looking forward to this game. They're going to get their best shot, and we'll see how it all falls out.
Renee, you know who might start at left tackle for them? Brandon Jacobs' son, Braden.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Man, when he got into the Bayou Hall of Fame, you know, Brandon was, hey, Mr. Mike, come here. I want to introduce you to my son. And, man, and you know, Brandon Jacobs a big dude. And, man, yeah. You got to say, man, what? He's like, well, he just turned 16 years old. And I'm like, what? And so he, I don't know if he's 18 yet, but if he is, he's barely 18. You talk about a man out there on the field. And I know one thing, he got some genetics in him, man, because Brandon Jacobs, you got to see him play, man, when he was at Assumption. Woo, man, you didn't want to tangle with Brandon out on the football field.
Yeah, he was the real deal. And I tell you what a talent he was. Very athletic. And, you know, the apple don't fall from the tree, but Clemson will be a stern test for LSU. Blake Miller, I don't know, Mike, you tell me, is Blake Miller the right tackle, the first-round potential for Clemson in the NFL draft? They are just loaded, and this will be the best challenge LSU will have in 2025.
Renee, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love when you come on, buddy. You take care.
Mike, Charlie, y'all have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee.
All righty. Renee Nato from Crescent City Sports.